board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. I just want to ask, can everyone hear me well enough?
I can.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Esikoff? Is absent. Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman? He's absent. Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay.
Public comment on agenda items only. Does anyone from the public have anything they'd like to express about the agenda items?
All right, first of all, 7:05 p.m.
7:05 p.m.
Okay, Carol?
Yeah. Yes. All right. So I understand that this is on the agenda, although on the draft agenda, I did not see this particular item. It is the proclamation declaring racism a public health crisis. So I'd like to say that I am Carol Watchler from 2 Elm Court. I am returning to the council to speak about the proposed resolution declaring racism a public health crisis. I thank you very much for taking this matter up and putting it on the agenda. I believe it is time for all of us to recognize the damage that is done to individuals of color who are directly impacted by racism, to communities that are stressed and disempowered by racism, and to our whole society, which is torn apart by racism. I am grateful to all the persons who have stepped forward with courage to call out and protest the visible and invisible horrifying effects of racism. The resolution enumerates the details, and you can read those for yourself. I'll just mention that debilitating mental and physical health, the effects on economic well-being, undermining economic well-being of persons of color over years and years, and also the shortened lifespans, the effects and damaging the spirit of so many people who have come under the effects of racism. And so I believe, and I would urge you to join me, that it is critically important for every community to step forward to acknowledge this problem and to put measures into our public policies to end and heal racism, to teach in our schools and generate in our environment the tools for ending and healing racism. Each of us can do a part, and our borough can do a part. I strongly urge you to pass this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carol, it's actually not a resolution. It's a proclamation that we're making.
Great. I'm glad you're making a proclamation, and I thank you for correcting me.
That's fine. Thank you.
We need a proclamation.
Right. Exactly. Is there anyone else from the agenda? Anyone else from the public who would like to speak about an agenda item?
Peggy, yes.
Hold on 1 second, please. I just want to note that Lou Esikoff is in at 7:07 p.m.
Good evening. I couldn't find the access code.
That's fine.
I just found it, obviously.
Michael, did you want to say something?
Yes, there's nothing on the agenda.
By yourself, please.
Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley. I just don't see anything on the agenda about report of public officials. It's generally on there.
Yeah, we didn't put that on. We just, if you have something that you need to tell us from the Environmental Commission, that's fine. But it just seemed superfluous. You're the only public official. And so we just leave it off. And if you have something to tell us.
Because you don't think I'm superfluous.
First of all, it says public officials, plural.
And Michael, you'll never let that happen to you.
I hope not. Okay.
Mayor, I wanted to thank Carol Watchler for bringing the issue to the council and bringing a draft resolution for us regarding the effect that racism has on everyone. Not just the people who experience the horrors of racism, but on everybody, because we're all part of one organism, one whole, and we all suffer when other people suffer in that way. As a mental health care professional, the trauma that that families have experienced and we've seen on TV, we've seen so graphically, and the trauma that people have to go through every day, even when they drive in their car because of racism, and just the effects are just horrific. So I think it's something we need to keep in mind, not only at this meeting, but all the time, that it's a horrible thing. And that really the awareness has been raised, and it really needs to continue to be a high profile issue. So again, thank you, Carol, for bringing that to our attention.
And Joe Trammell here. I personally
thank you. The public portion of the agenda items. So perhaps after I read the proclamation, everyone can make their personal statement. But right now, we really are in the public comment on the agenda. So yes. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak about any agenda item?
Close it at 7:11.
Okay. I'll close the public agenda at 7:11. May we come to approval of minutes, the regular meeting minutes of June 22nd, 2020. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Joe, is that you?
Yes.
Yep.
I had a question about one part of the minutes. During the public portion of the last meeting, Michael Ticton was asking about the structural analysis review report. It's listed in the agenda as structural analysis peer review report. I'm not sure it's a peer review. Maybe it was tower review or something, but does that need to be corrected?
It was actually the new people were looking at the AT&T people's report, so it may be considered a peer review.
That might be,
yes. Yeah, because I did say peer review.
Okay.
Should be colleague review, maybe.
Well, I have no objection to the substance. It's just I didn't know if that was a typo or I never heard it referred to as a peer review report. But anyhow.
Now.
Okay.
I don't have it on me, Mike. I will double check, but I did take that right from the letter.
I thought maybe spell check changed tower to peer or something. It often does things like that for me. So
yes, it does. I will double check.
Okay.
Did we have a?
We had a motion and a second.
Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody, you were absent for 10 minutes. Do you want to abstain?
This is for approval of minutes or the proclamation?
No, approval of minutes.
Okay, yeah, abstain.
Okay. Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Right, it passes.
Peggy, the camera is good, huh?
Pardon? Yeah.
Camera's great.
Oh, the camera's great, yes.
Good.
All right, we come to the proclamation declaring racism a public health crisis. I'm going to read this. Whereas race is a social construct with no biological basis, but a social reality that shapes our lives. And whereas racism is a social system with multiple dimensions, individual racism is internalized or interpersonal, systemic racism is institutional or structural, and is a system of structuring opportunity and assigning value based on race. This unfairly disadvantages specific individuals and communities, while unfairly giving advantages to other individuals and communities. And whereas all across the country, we are witnessing moral outrage against police brutality against Black Americans and the pervasive impacts of racism on the Black community's health and well-being. And whereas data suggests that Black New Jerseyans are dying at a disproportionately higher rate from COVID-19 than their counterparts of other races, And whereas women of color account for nearly 60% of all pregnancy-related maternal deaths in New Jersey, and Black women are over 4 times more likely to lose their lives during childbirth than their white counterparts. And whereas communities of color, those of low socioeconomic status, and those that suffer from disabilities are more likely to experience poor health outcomes as a consequence of the social detriments of health and health inequities stemming from economic stability, education, physical environment, food, and access to healthcare systems. And whereas structural racism influences many areas of life, including housing, education, employment, healthcare, and criminal justice, and an emerging body of research demonstrates that racism itself is a social detriment of mental and physical health. And whereas health varies markedly by income within every racial group, and racial or ethnic differences can be seen at each level of income, these patterns are seen across a wide range of health conditions. At the same time, findings from studies in the United States and other countries have found that perceived racial ethnic bias and the resulting toxic stress makes an additional contribution to racial or ethnic disparities in health. And whereas the American Public Health Association launched a national campaign against racism, therefore, be it resolved that it is our duty to assure in all our communities are considered and included that the mayor and council of Roosevelt will assert that racism is a public health crisis affecting our entire community and advocate for relevant policies that support local, state, regional, and federal initiatives that advance efforts to dismantle systemic racism. And it's dated July 13th, 2020. And I would just like to say from a personal note that as someone whose main career was spent at the Department of Civil Rights for the state of New Jersey, where the bulk of my work was investigating employment discrimination, I saw firsthand exactly how racism played out in the employment industry. And it was very upsetting. The disparity in the treatment between Caucasian and Black employees was sharp, and it was every day. I mean, I saw it every day. So I know I have some firsthand knowledge of exactly in employment and public accommodation and housing, how Black people were treated. And I also would like to say that I'm very proud of Roosevelt because I don't have statistics, but Roosevelt has a very large percentage of interracial couples and biracial children who live here. And as far as I know, most of the people who are here are very contented to be in Roosevelt. They know that this is a tolerant, accepting, diverse town. And I think that we have a reputation for that, which is why some of these families are attracted to Roosevelt. So I am proud of us as a town in our acceptance of all races and all ethnicities here, but particularly Black people, and the fact that we're ahead of the curve for fighting racism here. And now, from the council people, is there anyone else beside Mike who would like to?
Yeah, I'd like to say something as a person of color who was brought up in this society where people have not until recently recognized that that's what's been going on. And Carol, I want to thank you for this proclamation. And it is so interesting to watch the United States and the world all of a sudden be aware of something that has really hurt a lot of people through the years. So I appreciate this town, and Carol, I appreciate your proclamation. And hopefully sometime this next couple of months, I will put forth a resolution about the Equal Justice Initiative, the EJI, and I'm just waiting on that for now. I want to get closer to the subject. But thanks to all for this proclamation. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Move the question.
Pardon me?
He wanted to know what the question was. Your thoughts.
No, I
no, he wanted to move the question.
I thoroughly agree with what was said, so.
Well, it's a proclamation, Lou. It's not a resolution. It's proclamations. We're just declaring.
Fair enough.
It's a public health crisis.
Fair enough.
Cool.
So obviously this is written into the public, recorded into the public record now.
Excellent.
Okay.
I'll post it on the website too.
Sure.
Great. Okay.
Good. Okay, correspondence, none for this meeting. Come to ordinances. We have public hearing and second reading of ordinance 20-09, an ordinance amending and supplementing chapter 12, property maintenance of the borough code to clarify section 12-2 regarding borough officials' respective duties for processing liens for remediation of delinquent properties. So this ordinance amends borough officials' respective duties for processing liens on delinquent properties.
Yeah, and gives the housing...
It gives our housing officer the authority to make decisions on his own.
I'll move that.
Public hearing at 7:21 p.m. Is there anyone who would like to comment on ordinance 20-09?
Public.
Anyone from the public.
Mike
Kicken. Yeah, hi. I believe this is the ordinance saying who has the authority to do certain administrative functions with liens. This isn't the ordinance about the code officer making the determination on his own. That already passed.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What did you?
I said he can't.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Has to do with the
exactly. It's
so.
administrative functions.
Anyone else in the public would like to express themselves? All right, I will close the public portion at 7:22 p.m. We have a roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. So ordinance 20-09 is adopted.
Come to resolutions. Resolution 20-70, payment of bills for July 13th, 2020.
Let's pay the bills.
I'll second.
Louie, you got it.
No, it's yours.
Okay. Joe's second.
All right, they change it to Joe.
Hey Joe, if the cops come after you, don't blame me.
I won't be signing any checks tonight, Lou.
All right. Roll call, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Bill is passed. Resolution 20-71, resolution approval to submit a grant application and execute a grant contract with the New Jersey Department of Transportation for improvements to Pine Drive.
I'll move.
I got you.
You got me, Joe. Go ahead. I'll get the second on that.
Discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
20-71 passes. Resolution 20-72, resolution authorizing the borough engineer to provide plans and specifications for rehabilitation of well number 3. Advertise, receive bids, and recommend an award of contract. Motion?
Yes.
Second.
I'm sorry, who was that? Lou was first?
Steve, would you read the second?
Second. Okay.
Discussion?
Okay. I'd like to comment on that.
Sure.
About a week or so ago, this is Joe, John Holden, water guy, was switching wells from well 3 to well 4. Every couple of months, they switch over to make sure that they're all moving and, you know, just to swap them out. After well number three was turned off, there was some banging, and we figure it's the water going back down into the well. There should be some, ball bearing cutoffs for that, and apparently there's something wrong with one of them. From my notes, this well was redone in 2012 or 2013. They have a life of maybe 8 to 10 years. This should be done. Hopefully it won't cost as much as Carmela says for her engineering as well as for the well work itself. But what's going to happen is the well's going to be shut down. They have to pull the pump, the submerged pump out. It's about 250 feet or so down, and they have to replace it with a new pump. This should be done before there's any sort of emergency. Okay, that's my take on it.
Hey, Joe, is this the issue that John spoke about when we toured that one time? I remember him talking about having to potentially in the future repair one of the wells. I guess this is the one, right? There's not another one, is there?
This is when you and I and Chad, I think, were taking a tour of the water plant.
Mike was there, too.
Yeah, I was there. That was the issue. It was this okay. One needed to be rehabbed. It was near the end of it.
So he knew that it was coming up, and now it's broken.
Yeah, now it needs real work. And 2 or 3 years ago, it was being spoken of also. I tried to collect all the old notes from all the wells, and that's a lot of notes. And I'm trying to piece it all together. But, yeah, it's been talked about for a while, since Jill was involved, I believe. So, you know, we want to do this as soon as possible, and we want to keep more serious records about when things like this happen and when they get swapped out.
Absolutely.
And what kind of guarantees we have on them. It's the water's the lifeblood in town, so this needs to be done. So, yeah.
Any other discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Tremaine?
Yes.
20-72 passes. Resolution 20-73, a resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt awarding a contract for improvements to Narco Road, Elm Court, and Borough Hall. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that.
I'll second that. I gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that Narco Road does not have, there's no water lines that need to be replaced or anything like that along that stretch of road. But part of that project, besides paving Narco and Elm, is also making improvements in the Borough Hall parking lot area. And it's not just paving, it's also drainage kind of issues. Right. We were having a problem on Homestead with drainage, and this project will address that as well and mm-hmm. reroute and kind of work on those drainage issues.
And these problems have been ongoing for a long time. So it's
I also wanted to point out that we have a $350,000 grant for this road, primarily road work. So it's a great thing. I'm glad we have it. I'm glad we applied for all those grants and we got them, because I have a feeling they're going to be drying up. State revenue is down. Expenditures are up. When that happens, grants tend to dry up. So I'm glad that we have that. We're using it appropriately.
Yeah, and it'll be good to get rid of the sinkhole and back up for a little, too.
That, too.
Let me ask you, we have that speed sign that dies every other day because it's battery operated. And we called the company, and they were supposed to tell us whether we can convert it to all electric.
And yeah, I've been wanting to do that for a long time.
Well, if we could convert it to all electric, we could put a electric line underneath the ground.
Right. If you run a conduit there.
In a conduit, right, and it'll live forever down there. And that way it'll save us money from redigging and doing something else.
Yeah.
So I think that we should look into that.
Okay.
When we're doing that project.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Does
anybody that sign actually works most of the time. And if I'm coming into town from Heights down there and somebody's tailgating me and I get near that sign, I blow my horn a couple of times and they always slow down in back of me. So that sign's like, it's helpful. It's really helpful.
I think it's a deterrent.
That's reverse discrimination, though.
Is generally, there's a change, a pretty good, a drastic change in temperature. Goes from hot to cold, cold to hot, starts to rain, that's when it always goes out.
Well, that's the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you put electricity in there, that'll solve a lot of the big problem. But I don't know. Can we convert that thing?
Yeah, I think so. But it's going to, you have to let the people know before they pave, and there's got to be an electrician involved. So,
That's small potatoes.
Yeah, Anna will be on top of that. We've been discussing this since we put the solar signs in. So.
Yeah. This one can't take solar because it's too much shade there. Right? It needs real electricity.
I meant battery, not solar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Germany?
Yes.
Mr. Metcalf?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution 20-74, a resolution renewing a 3-year contract with Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission to accept sludge from the sewer treatment plant.
I'll move that.
You'll move the sewage?
I'll second it. I think we need to move the sewage, yeah.
Yeah. We can't keep it all.
Okay. Discussion? Pretty straightforward. Yeah, I mean.
Move the question.
Cut and dry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Jeremy?
Yes.
Mr. Asikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, 2074 passes. We come to reports of committee chairs. Council Member Bowen, Public Works.
Well, the focus of the Public Works has been primarily over at the sewer plant. Greg's been working down there doing a lot of painting. There's masonry work that needs to be done, and we're waiting for a quote from Earl the Mason. There are a couple of other things I wanted to bring up. Like, I don't know if you're going to bring this up or not, Peggy, regarding trees in the Greenland falling into the people's backyards. We have a couple of residents that are inquiring about this, whether this is something that Public Works is going to be taking care of, people's or Greenland trees falling into people's yard. I think what we need to do is actually come up with what our policy is regarding that issue. People want to go into the Greenland, and cut. They know it's a dying tree apparently, and it looks like it's going to fall. They first inquired about whether or not that's something that we would do, and we're hesitant to go forward with that. So in the meantime, now they would like to know whether or not they can go into the Greenland property and cut it themselves. Have a contractor come in and cut it, which to me seems like the reasonable solution.
Well, Steve. And it's actually, unless you want to respond to that, Lou?
You may.
Or
all right, okay. I spoke to Anna about this today because exactly what you said is happening. And the decision was that we were not going to pay for it.
Right.
And the other decision we made was that that person has to get permission to cut the tree. And the way the process is that they can hire someone, and that person, we're going to have a form. It'll be done tomorrow, by the way, interestingly enough. But there'll be a form. But in the meantime, in lieu of the form, the property owner, will have to ask the person that they're hiring to, on their stationery or on their bill head or whatever they want, to verify that that tree is dead and is a hazard and must be taken down, should be taken down, and he signs it, the homeowner signs it, brings it to the borough hall, pays the $10, and that they get a receipt, a copy of this, and that's their permission to cut the tree. I think it's a very clean, easy process. I don't think we're reinventing the wheel here. We're just doing what we think is right. Because as our finance director, Mr. What's his name?
George Lang.
Mr. Lang said at one time, if we continue to be so gracious, we're going to go broke.
Particularly because the trees are really aging. Trees are coming down.
Right. Some of them are, there are a lot of them. There's a lot of regrowth in there because we had Monmouth County Shade Tree Commission and they were behind my house, between Peggy's house and mine, and they walked that whole area and they said, we thought that everything was dying because there were a lot of dead trees on the ground, and they said, no, if you take a look at it, they're growing new ones all the time, and they're regenerating and it's fine. So, but we'll have dead trees, and I know it. And I think I don't think we could take on the cost of doing business that way.
George Lang said it would be unaffordable for us.
Absolutely.
Do we have to do a resolution or anything to, firm that up at all?
No.
Well, we did the tree ordinance.
It's in the ordinance, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, it's in the tree ordinance, Greenland issues?
Yes.
The only wrinkle that I understood to be here is that it's on public property, right? And so the only difference here was whether you guys can give them permission. If they want to pay to take the tree down, you just say it's our property, we give you permission to do that. That's the only wrinkle here that was different than what we discussed last time, is that these trees are on public property, allegedly threatening private property, and there's a disagreement, I believe, between the homeowner and the expert that the borough called. And so we told them, if you're really concerned about it, I think Anna told them already, if you're really concerned about it, you just tell us, we'll give you permission and you can go take them down. But we can't pay when everyone's worried about a tree, we can't pay for it, was basically. And I think the guy was really, he was happy with that answer. I think he was okay with it.
He was okay with it, yeah.
He was like, great, I get to take care of myself. You're going to give me permission?
My neighbor?
Absolutely. And then he went and did it. I don't know if he's done it yet, but I think he was very happy with us at the end of that process and talking to me and Anna.
Is this Mr. Cannon speaking?
Yes. Hey, Joe.
Greg, I didn't know you were here. Okay,
Greg, was that my neighbor that you're talking about?
I think so, Lou.
I honestly don't even know.
I think he is, Lou.
Okay. Yeah, he spoke to me. No secret. He spoke to me about it. I told him what the process is, and he said he didn't flinch. He said it's fine. I'll take care of it.
Okay. Yeah, my understanding is he was, I don't know where he lives. I mean, they just come in and
he's attached to my house.
I don't even look at the address half the time. Yeah, but I think he was pretty happy. And I don't think everyone's going to be happy with that solution, but he was. So today's problem solved.
from years ago, we were always told we couldn't touch any trees on Green Acres. It was not our property. So now I think some people are relieved.
Oh, yeah. Typically they can't go on there without our permission. I mean, that was the sticking point here was he was saying they would needed to come down, right? Which is needed and wants to come down are two different animals from kinds of
perspective. He
was saying they needed to come down, and our guy said they don't need to come down, and that left us in a very weird place. And so we offered, if you want to take them down, feel free, we'll give you the permission. And he was very happy with that. So
well you know, he had two trees. One of them was deemed in okay condition, and he'll leave it there. But the one that's dead was, he has, if it's my neighbor, it's no secret. He has a pool, and he's afraid. He's got a good grandchild and other people visiting. He doesn't want that tree to come down and hit somebody in the head. And he'll be sued, and it becomes a whole thing. It's easier to do this. And important, the kicker in the whole thing is that he has got to get the opinion of a certified tree person. You can't just say, my friend told me it's dead. He's got to get somebody that's something like Alan or the Timberwolf.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, and certified tree expert is a term of art. There is a certified tree expert from the DEP class that you can take. So we believe the ordinance says tree, I don't know if it says certified, I think it says tree expert. In any event, that's something I'm going to be talking about with the committee going forward, firming that up. But at this point in time, the borough will accept a licensed contractor's, writing.
Or an arborist.
Not a certified tree expert from the DEP. If you cut down trees every day and you got a license for it, we'll take that opinion. That's our position now, trying to make it easy. As easy, interpret the ordinance as easy as possible for the residents.
Okay. Either a licensed tree person or an arborist. If he wants to get one, I don't care.
And we'll take either because we're not trying to overburden people.
Somebody with some authority, some knowledge and authority in this area. That's all. That's it.
Well, the other issue I wanted to bring up, Peggy, had to do with parked cars. This apparently is an issue. And I guess I'm looking to be. Excuse me?
What about parked cars?
Well, it was a Bert Ellen talk. You didn't get that email?
We're not going to discuss it at this meeting because I need to discuss that with Greg. Before I mentioned it to Greg, but he and I need to discuss it because it's concerning some ordinances, old ordinances, and so that's why it wasn't on his correspondence because it came in pretty late. So once Greg and I have a chance to discuss it, then it will go, his letter will go on his correspondence and we can discuss it then. But there's some research that has to be done into the ordinances that he mentioned.
Okay, I just wanted to...
long story short, we're not sure that the ordinance that's being cited is even effective anymore. So before we figure we just put it on for next week and I would tell you this is what the ordinance says and do you think it's a problem with the complaint or what have you.
Okay. We have no parking signs.
Excuse me, Lou?
We have no parking signs on this side of the road or something like that on some of the streets.
Yeah, we're going to wait until Greg and I discuss the ordinances.
It was a lengthy list, and then so we're going to identify the problems before we talk about everything.
Right. All right, that sounds good.
It's probably not a problem.
That's all for me.
I wish you wouldn't go walking.
Hey, Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
We're administering.
Good.
And we have a new camera in the office.
Yes, we do.
for the computer for our darling mayor. And we will have that form tomorrow, and just to expedite matters on the trees. And what else do we have? And that's about it for me. And things are moving along.
Thanks.
The borough is still the borough.
Sewage and all.
What?
I said sewage and all, moving along.
Yeah.
Councilmember Dermody, Community Development Code Enforcement.
Yeah, just want to make a public note that all the chairs I made in conjunction with RAP are now placed along the Woodland Trail. So they'll be there until the weather turns. And if anybody wants to get out for a nature walk, feel free to go check them out.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Luke. That's great.
Are we going to take them off in the wintertime and store them? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to store them. I'm going to store them inside, once the weather drops below, 50, 40.
Good idea.
Great. I wonder if we should, we have so many new residents. Maybe we should publicize the trails more.
I was thinking of doing a little, just printing out a map, at least for the bulletin board, even marking where these new chairs are and just encouraging people to use it. Because I feel like a lot of people don't even know that some of the segments exist,
right.
Especially new people in town.
Right. I think that would be great, Luke. Also,
okay. Yeah, so I'll print up a little map that's easy to understand and put it on the bulletin board, and maybe we can send it out on the website as well.
There's an existing map, I think, Luke. There's an existing map of the trails that go all the way from Prineville all the way through here and everything. I think Anna has that somewhere. So you
okay,
might be able
great.
To that mark where the chairs are.
Roosevelt and the Roosevelt. I just think it'd be great to publicize it, let people know. Also, do you have any way of knowing how many people use the pocket park? I wonder if Greg empties the trash can there. I walk over all the time, but maybe we should also publicize the pocket park, particularly families, because right across the street are the donkeys and the horses that, you know, parents can, well, I mean, obviously anyone can take advantage of it. It's lovely. But, you know, I think children really love feeding the donkeys and looking at the horses. So I wonder if we should try to publicize the pocket park more. Also, the benches are really nice to sit on and
draw that out on the map.
Yeah, I could include that on this map as kind of a public spaces for people to use, especially during everything going on.
Yeah, being home so much.
Actually, the Assunpink has a map of the trails that go through here also, because they have trails. Yeah.
The county does, and I just think
one,
public
one map.
Our own residents who may not be aware.
It's one map.
I know Mike had some ideas also.
There's a map that the Assunpink drew up that had includes both the Roosevelt Trail and the County Trail, and the Assunpink produced it.
Yeah.
It was posted at the on the bulletin board near the sewer plant, and we wanted to get another one to post it up on the bulletin board near the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the map exists. We just have to get it.
Yeah.
We want to get it posted.
A little more user friendly, or pointing out that there's chairs there now.
Concern about the chairs. One thing we had some problem with things that are on the trail being thrown into the creek. And hopefully nobody's going to do that with the chairs. So we got to.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things.
The
it's still hard
there,
to
take
stop
them away if it seems that that's being done.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We'll have to see how it goes. You know. Hopefully.
Right.
I was thinking of maybe putting a little write up, you know, with each set of chairs, at least listing the artists and explaining that it's a communal thing done by people in Roosevelt, and hopefully that'll earn the respect of people.
Yeah, the vandals don't care. They added reason to do it.
They take the handles off the pumps too.
It's a challenge to them, maybe. I don't know.
Thank you, Luke.
Yep, no problem.
Councilmember Hamilton, finance?
We haven't had a finance meeting since the last few that we had, but we will have to because we still have the small matter of the municipal budget. And we anticipate that will be will need to be worked on probably within the next few weeks. I don't know if we have any numbers yet. I don't think we have any numbers from the state yet as far as the state budget is concerned, but that wouldn't stop us from working on our municipal end. We just don't know how things are going to balance out in terms of state revenue, and we're expecting some hits with the state revenue side of things because the state has not been collecting a lot of the revenue that it was collecting prior to the pandemic. And the state was in a very good position prior to that, and I don't think it's in such a good position anymore. Which brings up another issue I'm glad that we applied for the grants that we applied for. We get Clean Communities money, and I want to encourage the council to use that Clean Communities money, even though we may not have Clean Communities pickups like we did before because of the pandemic. I think we should do something, though, with that money, because the state has the right, if they see that grant money is not being used, to recoup it. And they could very easily come back and say, look, you haven't used your Clean Communities grant money. We'd like to have it revert back to the state coffers. And so I think it's an important source for some of the nonprofit groups in town. I know Roosevelt Arts Project has received $500 grants as part of the Clean Communities grant money when they've helped out with the with the pickup. Also, I think the first aid squad and some other I think the school group, the nonprofit, they also have gotten money through that too. So I think it's important to keep that in mind, that money's there. I know, do we have a Clean Communities coordinator?
Yes, this question keeps coming up all the time. Diane Lowry is our Clean Communities coordinator.
Is she active? Can she be?
Well, unfortunately, she was actually just ready to take some classes with the state when the pandemic hit. So is she active? Is active? There's not a lot she can do right now, but she is, very involved. She wants to be, do as much as possible in Roosevelt. She's just sort of limited now. And I know also that there's pretty rigid rules about what the money can and can't be used for.
That's true.
So we have to, Diane would be the one to research, if people have ideas of what they'd like to use it for, they need to clear it with her so she can research whether it can or can't be used for.
Well, I know it might be difficult, but I'd like to see a Clean Communities pickup kind of thing organized. I think it could be done in a good way where people, usually a lot of times couples who live together and are isolating together in their own little bubble can take a stretch of road and do the pickup as part of the Clean Communities thing. I think it could be done if you really organized it properly in a good way that's respective of social distancing.
Do you want to contact Diane and discuss it with her?
Not necessarily, but I know there's always a danger when you bring up an issue that you're it, but
that's why
I have to learn to keep my mouth shut in the future. But I think it's a good source of revenue. I worry that grant money is going to dry up. I think it's going to be harder and harder to get grants. The road grants that we got, I'm really thankful that we went after them aggressively and that we got that road grant money. But I think things are going to tighten up considerably in the near future. And
yeah, we can definitely research. Kathleen thinks it's possible we may, she's not sure, even be able to purchase some DPW equipment with it. So.
Okay, you have to look into the grant guidelines. I know they're pretty specific as to what you can and can't use that money for.
Yeah, that's probably what Diane should, we can ask her to do.
So finance committee guys, listen up. We're going to have to meet sometime soon, and we're going to have to go over the budget with our CFO and possibly others. I'll be in touch with you guys trying to come up with a schedule for that. I don't know what the state's plan is or what their timeline is for the state budget. Michael, do you know by any chance?
They're passing an interim budget for now until October, and then they're going to be working on the budget for the other three quarters of the year.
Okay.
They're going to start working on that now. They just passed, I believe they just passed the budget for the three-month budget.
Okay, great. So we can start working on our the numbers on our end, so we'll start working on that. There's a lot of things we have to discuss with that water sewer utility improvements and other issues too. So
George Lang just told us late today that he would like to introduce the budget on July at the July 27th meeting.
Okay. We'll have to meet within the next couple of weeks. I suggest we do it sooner rather than later because we may need a couple quick meetings. So we'll work on that as far as scheduling.
Yeah, originally we were thinking that we would cancel the last meeting in July and the last meeting in August the way we did last year. But because of the pandemic and the budget changes, it appears, not certain, I have a question into George. I haven't heard back yet. but it appears that we will have the July 27th meeting, council meeting, where we introduce the budget and then possibly cancel the August 8th meeting.
I'm sorry, 10th meeting.
Okay.
That's fine. It's 28
because,
days.
Because, you know, we need the 28 days from intro to adoption.
So that would bring it right to August
28th. So possibly we, I have a question to George to see if that's a necessity or, you know, a possibility. So once we hear from him, but it may be that we do have the meeting on the 27th and introduce the budget that day. Otherwise, okay, so it goes into September. So
since we're going to be working on that soon, if any council members or the mayor or any other municipal officials have any ideas for things that they would like to be have included in the budget for projects or anything that they're working on or whatever their financial needs are, if they could submit them to myself or any member of the finance committee, which is Lou and Joe and myself, that would be great. And then we can start piecing it together and looking at it and see what we can come up with. We're going to have to move pretty quickly on it then, it looks like.
Unless George says that it's not actually necessary on the 27th. I'm waiting to hear.
Okay.
But as soon as I hear from him, I think I caught him. He texted us late today, so I think I caught him on his ride home. So as soon as we have confirmation, it must be the 27th or it could be delayed a little. I'll let you.
Okay. So finance committee members, keep your pencils sharp. I know Joe is sharpening his. So Lou, sharpen your pencils and we'll get busy on that.
Okay.
End of report.
Thanks, Mike. Council Member Trammell, utilities.
Okay. Well, we talked about well number three, so that's happening. They're going to be doing the sidewalks on Homestead. Not sidewalks, but the curbs on Homestead and Cedar and Elm pretty soon. Then they'll pave the generator at Bill Hall. Did not come on the other day, so we're going to have that looked at. Greg Basile checked it. Battery was dead. AT&T has been working on the water tower. They put their wires in one of the legs, and they are now waiting for the structural steel to come in. Going to be 4 or 8 40-foot pieces for the horizontals near the bottom, and 1.5-inch round the X bracing on the sides with the turnbuckles on them. So all that stuff will be coming in, and in the next week or two, and they'll start doing structural strengthening there. And I'm going to make it a point to call Jim Markey and discuss with him the power lines that are over the fence at the water tower, because they're really in a problem when people try to bring a crane in and bring heavy stuff up to the top of the tower. That's it for me.
Joe, I have a question. I've heard from some residents on Farm Lane that the water bill, there was a problem. Everyone was told that they had a 1,000-gallon...
1,000-gallon excess. I just heard that today myself. Yeah. Who was one of the people who had that?
I think it must be, you know, it's either a computer glitch, whatever, because everyone was exactly...
I don't know. We're going to have to go up and down the chain of custody there. I mean, John drives through and his computer just catches a radio signal. So he doesn't touch anything. It's just into the computer. Then he uploads it to Edmunds. And then once it's in Edmunds, Sam and Anna, well, Sam Moore, gets his hands on it and creates the bills, and then they crank them out. So at some point along that chain, you know, something is going on for exactly 1,000 gallons.
And the first resident that complained about it, John thought that either perhaps they had a leak or they were using extra water, which was really not possible. And I just lost my whole train of thought. And especially considering that it was exactly 1,000 gallons. But
exactly, triple off on every one of them.
He thought it was really the usage or a leak. But then it turned out, one by one, the residents on the farm all got the $1,000 overage.
Yeah.
So there's definitely...
It's more than farm. I think it's on North Valley also.
Oh, yeah?
North Valley?
I believe so.
Yeah, we're going to have to check into this. I mean, the entry that goes into the computer versus the actual entry that is on the meter head itself, that's got to get checked out. Then from there, it goes to Edmunds, and do they round up or round down all of a sudden? Is something defaulting to that?
No, they can't. And then do once it. Well, if they did, then do the point is, wait a minute, the point is that if they do that, they're violating the ordinance. Because the ordinance is clear on the fact that any overage is billed at 0.0082 cents
per gallon. Yeah.
Per gallon.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's understood, but we just don't know where.
You can't arbitrarily do that. But I have a feeling that what might have happened, since it didn't happen all over town, or maybe it didn't, people are not noticing.
I don't know.
I don't know how they can't. But by the same token, I think that that his transmitter might have had a glitch in it. And there's a section of the
we're going to have to walk through this one part at a time through that chain and see where it does whatever it's doing, you know.
But it, you have to be suspicious that everybody got a 1,000. It was in increments of 1,000 gallons.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was in the office today, and Anna looked through five houses right next to each other on farm, and each one had a triple-digit extension on it, like 1,000 extra gallons on each one of them. So that's too much coincidence. We're going to have to walk through this.
Can you follow up with that, Joe?
Yeah, I'll talk to John about it and see exactly what it registers on the meter versus on his computer. And then Edmunds, I don't know that software, but then Edmunds gets it because John uploads it to Edmunds.
Sam takes
it off of Edmunds.
I think Anna wrote them a note.
Okay, yeah, this is going to be a few people involved, so I will definitely keep my eyes on it, keep my ears to the ground on this one. So,
good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. No problem.
Do you have any old business they'd like to discuss?
Mm-hmm.
New business. Now, it says on the agenda, Borough Council meetings, because we were going to cancel the 27th, as we did last summer, the last meeting of July. We also canceled the last meeting of August. Now, I think we should table that for right now, hold off on it until I speak to George and see exactly what we can and can't do.
Okay, and then I have a piece of new business here. I talked to a few people, and we have the equipment, we have the technology, we have the interest. We should do drive-in theater and the school, back of the school. So cars could be in the parking lot, blankets and chairs could be on the grass in the pavement, and we could stick a screen up on the back of the school and take an hour to put it up, an hour to take it down, and why not? So I'm going to start looking into that.
It doesn't rain. People just
If it doesn't rain, bring an umbrella. It's summertime. Right? But whatever. But it'll be something that'll be nice since we're not going 4th of July. You know, we're not doing a lot of activities in town here, so that would be nice. If it goes over, we could do it as often as we feel like it, okay? We have the equipment. We have people that will help, cha-cha-cha. So.
Send out flowers. Flyers when it's ready, Joe? When it's all, how are you going to publicize this?
We could publish, once we figure out what we're doing, I got a printer, you know, I can put posters around town.
Maybe some money in the recreation budget because since we didn't have July 4th.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak with Eric if that's okay to speak with him. Yeah. I would want to walk him through and say we could put cars here, we could put cars here, we could put 6-foot circles on the ground and on the grass over here. We could have people letting cars in, showing them where to park. Once we get to a maximum limit with cars, we can say park on the street somewhere, come in, bring a chair, bring a blanket. But I just think it would be an exceptional. It'll be fun to do. Around 8:30 when it gets dark till 10, 11, you know, two-hour movie. Hey, what the heck, you know? So
just when it's all firmed up, talk to Anna because I'm sure there's money in the budget for the bulk mailing.
Okay, sounds good. All right. So that should be fun.
All right, come to public comment at 8.04 p.m. Does anyone from the public have anything they'd like to speak about? Michael? Yes. Mike?
Yeah, okay, thank you. First of all, I just wanted to ask, when are the estimated tax bills going to be coming out for the third quarter? Does anyone know yet?
Mike, can you identify yourself? And
Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road.
Thank you. Not that we don't know who you are, but...
I know. Ordinal was signed.
I spoke to Sam. Well, I didn't speak to him. He sent an email. He's not doing estimated, but I don't have a date as to when the billing will go out. I sent him another email. And then once I have that information, I'll let everyone know.
Okay, well, because we'd have to have the figures that have to have the figures and have the state budget and then the town budget all done to do that. Okay, I thought the state wanted them to estimate it. Okay, now another point. The Zoom meetings presumably are going to, you know, we don't know when they're going to stop, and very likely that it continue into next year. We don't have a vaccine yet. Nobody knows when there's going to be a vaccine, when it's going to be available. So we have to presume that we're going to have these Zoom meetings for a long time, which brings up the question, which I've raised on previous occasions, of the second reading of the bamboo ordinance. I think if I would invite all of you to go and take a look at the property opposite the factory on North Valley Road between 39 and 41, where there's a stand of bamboo there, which was cut back earlier this year and is now totally regrown. So you see what happens, you see how it spreads, and you see what the ordinance is about and what the whole point of trying to prevent and why it's important. So hopefully you will address this at some time this year, so the ordinance, which you've already passed on first reading, doesn't expire because you haven't had a hearing on it for second reading. Okay, so please, I would ask that somebody get it put on the agenda for the next meeting or some meeting soon thereafter.
Well, let's wait till after the summer because people will be on vacation and, you know, we'd rather have a full council, whatever.
Okay, as long as it's done before it expires.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public have anything that they'd like to speak about? Seeing none, close the public portion at 8.07 p.m. Counselor, do we have a need for an executive session? Newsom? Greg?
No, we do not need an executive session, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, great. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
You do.
Second.
Second?
Yep.
Is that you, Joe?
I think that was Joe.
That would be Joe.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned at 8.08 p.m.
Thank you all.
All right. Thank you.
Night.
Whether we have to meet on the 27th or not. George, have an answer.